Don't let pay TV be the monster in your living room. Pay TV and cable TV companies are seeking the right to charge you for the very programs you now get free. If you want to stop pay TV and save free television, sign the petition in the lobby of this theater. Let your lawmakers know how you feel in the fight against pay TV and cable TV.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. I actually meant to type you a message, but I clicked the call button instead. It's been so long since we did this, I forgot where the buttons are.
Yeah, well, you know, the keyboard and the mouse button are so close together that I can see how you would make that mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's new? It's been literally forever.
I don't think you used that word correctly, but yes, hyperbolically, it has been literally forever. So that's that's fun. Basically, previously on Defocused, we had a bunch of episodes, and we did stuff, usually about a movie, and so that catches us up, I think. The last movie we did was, Dan, this is your kid.
RoboCop.
Yes, and not the stinky 2014 version. The
boo.
Yeah, boo. The good old one with the you know, buying things for dollars. That one.
Yeah, yeah. And then last week, I kept postponing, and then it suddenly turned into this week. So that's what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
My bad.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
It's not really just Dan's fault though, because my time is also similarly inflexible, and so the two inflexible timelines intersected to create nothingness, a void.
An inflexible timeline hits an unmovable. No, that's not how that goes.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Remember when we didn't have jobs, like either of us, and then we would just like willy nilly record this in like the middle of a Monday afternoon?
Oh God, it was so easy. It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, roll out of bed, record a podcast.
It was pretty great. I'd make some coffee at like noon. I'd hang out. You know, scroll through Twitter for a little bit, and then you know we would just casually banter.
Yeah, we'd have all these East Coast guests, and we would just be like, "Yeah, sure, it's totally fine. We record, you know, whenever's convenient for you." Great. and then nowadays it's like 9 o'clock at night on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It's not as accessible. I want to say for my personal schedule and your personal schedule, and also you had a big event last Tuesday, didn't you?
Was that Tuesday? I've lost all track of time. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? I don't even know.
Well, you should probably get this straight before Amanda ever decides to listen to this podcast.
It was the 18th. That was Wednesday. Oh, so a week to the day. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. happy 1 week anniversary. You wanna tell do you wanna tell the audience what the anniversary is for?
A week ago today, because today is the 25th. On the 18th, I got engaged to my girlfriend of almost. Something like 4 years now.
Well, congratulations, Dan.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Yes. You're a very lucky man to have found somebody that appreciates
tolerates
you.
Tolerates me.
Yes.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I don't know what else to say about that. People don't want to hear about that.
Yeah. You had a busy week. Now the next step is, of course, wedding planning. And I hear that's inexpensive and easy, and everyone agrees on everything. So,
sure. No, it's already been a week, and we've already been like up and down the hill like three times of like, it's going to be great. I'm totally over it. Let's not even do it. It's going to be great again, and we have no idea what's going to happen, but it's there's no timeline on it, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah, what are you, like 2 hours from Vegas? Three?
Right. We've had that advice from more than one person. They said they'll rent an Elvis impersonator. And we'll just get it out of the way. Viva
Las Vegas. You need to find an Elvis impersonator that has a pug dressed like Elvis, because I think that would be perfect as the ring bearer.
Well, I can provide the pug.
Okay, but can you dress him as Elvis?
We don't currently have any Elvis related attire, but I'm sure we can find something.
Okay, well that just blew up the wedding budget right there.
Right. Yeah, I don't think Target carries Elvis outfits, so that's where we normally get his little sweaters and bow ties and what have you.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at some major Etsy expenses right here.
Right. I totally bought something off Etsy 2 days ago, and it was a painting of a pug.
Well,
that sums it up, doesn't it?
Totally fits with what I just said.
Well, yeah.
when you know, life is stranger than fiction.
You had a nominal, vague topic that you wanted to discuss this week, since we were both, well, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm still, completely, screwed up schedule wise. So I didn't have time to watch a movie, but you had a topic you wanted to discuss, in replacement of a movie this week.
Yeah. Which is something we've done previously, see my previously under focus comments before, that sometimes it's not always about movies. And so last week, with all the hubbub over the Apple TV rumors that have been circulating about an over the top service, which we'll get to what that means in a second. With all that stuff, the rumor mill shenanigans going on, and my previous irate comments about how stupid it was that they didn't update the stupid freaking plastic box that they sell. on the March 9th event, the whole thing has spawned some rather directionless, interesting conversation about the ramifications of Apple entering this market, and what this rumor could mean if it turns out to be true. And everything seems to be lining up more towards the true part than the not true part. So, with that, the topic is, of course, the Apple TV service, not so much the new device that there were also rumors about that came out much later than that, because the device is one of those things where it's going to be a little harder to gauge because it's so dependent on what Apple decides to do, especially software-wise and hardware-wise. I mean, it could have Siri, it could not have Siri, it could have Universal Search, it could not have Universal Search, it could be the stupid like metal box that they showed on BuzzFeed, which made no sense to me because like the last thing I need is a shiny metal object underneath my TV.
Yeah, that was a nice mock-up just because I guess they think Apple just wants to make everything out of aluminum if possible.
Yeah, it, just mill it out of a block of aluminum and then give me some spotlights I can point at it. It's devices in your living room should be black, or the same color as every other device in there, or completely invisible, or behind your television. Any of these things, you should not see the device. If it is a blingy TV where we're looking at like glinting chamfers, then I think they failed. So I don't really respect that artist rendering, and I don't think that stands any snowball's chance in chamfers of happening. The more interesting part, I do think, is all the wheeling and dealing with the networks to get channels, quote-unquote, to line up for a service. And that's interesting, because we usually talk about, well, entertainment. And do you know what they have on television networks, Dan?
I think it's something like shows and movies and maybe some documentaries. And is TV live streaming now? Do they do the live streaming?
Apple specifically, or just like in general?
It was a joke. I want a meerkat for my Apple TV.
Oh, okay. I don't think you can do that because it doesn't have a camera. So,
well, it doesn't need a camera. I'm a viewer.
Well, I thought you were saying you want a meerkat from it, not meerkat to it. Wouldn't that be to instead of from?
I don't know. We'll get back to it. We'll circle back to grammar.
If a meerkat cats in the woods and no Apple TVs are around to hear it,
should I meerkat this the stream right now so people can watch me?
Yes, they can just hear your side of the conversation.
They did that on Connected, but they actually have a live stream, so it was kind of useful for them. But I bet you we could get we could break my record of 10 people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you go for it. Knock yourself out.
Sure, I'm gonna do it. You keep talking. So, but the thing about this, as you said, I am of similar agreeance that the hardware is mostly uninteresting because this is all about the software. And this is most of the tech news press that's been circling lately about the Apple Watch in particular has been about how, oh, it's got this new paradigm of navigating apps and the circular apps, and you got to zoom in and swipe everything around, and it's hard to get to. And, you know, I don't know if people are going to be able to adjust to that. And it's like, okay, first of all, the device isn't out yet, so why are we even talking about this? But second of all, that's the software part that can and will change if it is terrible. So, like, why are we even talking about that? A, you don't have it in your hands. People haven't gotten used to it. And B, if it's terrible, they'll fix it. Like, that's what software is, and you can do that. So,
now, Dan, I'm going to offer a counterpoint.
Okay.
The software on your Apple TV is terrible, and it's been that way for, what, 2 years without
right.
a change, other than adding more channels?
I think I'm more speaking in terms of this hypothesizing about the paradigm of the new device, whether it's going to have apps, whether it's going to have all of this app store, and how is that going to work, and all of that sort of stuff is like, let's see how it shakes out, even in 1.0, let's see how it works. But yes, the current Apple TV, you are absolutely right, is stagnant beyond stagnant and just terrible.
Yeah, and I think it's worth differentiating a couple things here, that some of the things that people are mentioning about Apple TV have to do with the over-the-top service. Some of the things that people are talking about with Apple TV have to do with the new hardware that they're speculating will come in the fall. And then some of the things have to do with software changes to the underlying method of interaction that you just have in general with it, rather than that giant screen of unusable garbage with block after block of terrible channels you've never heard of. They'll have all of that, but it'll be organized differently. It's basically those three things. I mean, they all interact in a way, but since we really know so little about what they could change with the software stuff, I don't really know what to speculate there. And with the hardware stuff, it's like anything literally would be an improvement. So they could come out with one that just has an improved processor and looks exactly the same, and it would be like, wow, that's amazing. My mind is blown. It does seem like all indications are it will come out with something, and it might have some other kind of controller or remote or something, because maybe somebody finally realized that a metal stick with a D-pad in it is not really like the best.
Yeah, at this point, I still use a combination of the actual Apple remote and the remote app to get anything done.
What's your remote workflow?
My remote workflow. Mm-hmm. Well, it's useful when the app doesn't connect to the Apple TV about half the time, so it just sort of sits there and spins and says trying to connect, which is great. But you know, I use the app for entering actual information in all of the search boxes, which is necessary because you can't use the friggin' stupid silver remote. I haven't lost the silver remote. I have dented the crap out of my coffee table by dropping the silver remote from like 2 inches above the table. But you know, the software has stagnated terribly. But I think in terms of the things that I'm actually looking for, the universal search is really the big one. And there was that an iMore article about all of the hidden keyboard shortcuts, well, not keyboard shortcut on the remote, all the different combinations of things you can do that you probably didn't know about. Like a lot of those I wish I could memorize, because those were useful, like quick like two button ways to hide apps, or to, you know, just move stuff around and just rearrange stuff. Like that makes it usable, but it's completely impossible to find. So maybe some improvements with that stuff would be
I think the word you're looking for there is non-intuitive. The whole mechanism, like for instance, if you use the Netflix app, which is probably, I have to say, 90% of the time I'm using the Apple TV, it is to use the Netflix app. That requires drilling down through, like, I don't know, 14, 15, 17 menus or something to get to whatever you're going to. And to go one at a time back up through the hierarchy, all the way to the home screen of your Apple TV is painful.
Well, there is one shortcut for that. Just hold down the menu button and you go straight back there. But yeah, that's either all or nothing, which isn't great. And
but that's exactly what I mean, though, is like, I didn't know that did that for a year after I had my Apple TV. And then I think it was like Bradley Chambers or somebody on Twitter told me about it when I was complaining, because I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, why would I have to keep doing this? And it's like, well, of course you don't have to do it. You just push the button until it goes all the way to the top. And I'm just like, well, couple of things. Why why does that happen and nobody told me? And like, there's not like a thing. I mean, I'm not asking for like a tips app, like the iOS, you know, 8 tips app. That thing can burn in hell. But the just the notion that there are these shortcuts, like you're saying, it's like they're non-obvious. So it's not even like the In-N-Out secret menu. Like, almost everyone knows the In-N-Out secret menu because everybody told everybody else the In-N-Out secret menu. With the Apple TV stuff, it's not like everybody's like having like a powwow, like talking to one another, like, oh, well, let's chit chat about this. It's not like, what did you order on your Apple TV or something like that? Because it's just a box, and it's, you know, like, just like, you don't need like a tips and trick thing for jumping around on menus. So I think that is something that really needs to be improved if they go that route. But again, we're not going to delve into what might or might not happen. I'm sure they've had this input before, that the remote is garbage and that the method of interaction through this remote is terrible. And the remote app, like you're saying, most of the time it's connecting to your television. So it's about as useful as basically using the silver thing anyways. You're either offsetting the time you're spending by quickly going through menus using a remote that has buttons, or you're offsetting your time by quickly entering information into a field, which would take 10 years to use the little stick thingy for. So it's like six of one, half dozen of the other, as far as interaction methods go. And a major point of criticism that I had with this, when I had my blog post from a couple of weeks ago that Jason Snell linked to on Six Colors, is that all of these criticisms that we are discussing here have nothing to do with the networks cooperating with them, have nothing to do with content, have nothing to do with anything else. These are all things that could be unilaterally changed, and Apple was content to do jack squat. And even today, they released another channel, and so now there's CNN, which is fantastic, because I don't watch CNN, so great. But I guess it's better than the Cricket channel, because it's at least it's a channel that other people have heard of. The whole thing there, though, is just like, they're still releasing stuff on this. They're still adding channels to this. So obviously this isn't like some thing that they want to die. But at the same time, they've invested almost nothing in trying to improve the user experience of this device at all. And there's the rumors that there was one last year, one this past year, that there was a device that was in the planning stages and it was axed because of content stuff, and so it didn't pan out. And it's like, well, that's fine, I guess, in a way, except it's been 2 years. So there should have at least been stopgap updates to this device to make it better in some way during that interval of time, in case whatever it is that has been rumored for 2 years wasn't working out both of those years. And so now we're up to this point now where they're announcing HBO Go, and the biggest Apple TV announcement that they can muster, other than just adding another channel to the device, is that they're cutting the price on the existing unit. Now, that leaves room, because what was it? On the slide, it says starting at $69, and it leaves room for them to potentially add a slot in another device above it. Like, maybe there's an Apple TV Pro or whatever, that, or the actual like so-called TV set device that a lot of people have talked about, where it's just one integrated slab of LCD material that you'll be receiving from the company. I think that scenario is probably the least likely. I think set-top box is the most likely, but it doesn't matter, because whatever it is, it's not here, and whatever it was that was rumored before, it never happened. So it's all hinging on maybe they'll kind of do something. So I really hope that even in the intervening time, while they're waiting to roll out stuff, that they just get their ish together and work it out, because I'm annoyed.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last time. The stopgap measures, in all likelihood, that didn't happen because they pulled the talent to work on all of the other iOS projects, and, you know, the Apple TV was still a hobby, so who knows if it was even going to be worthwhile to continue. And maybe their stopgap measure was just not up to snuff, so they figured it wasn't worth releasing. But it should be telling that, you know, most of these hidden controls, or, you know, the hidden in and out menu that you talk about on the Silver Remote, most of those commands come directly from the old iPod Classic. Like, you know, some of the holding down the menu button, the holding down pause to turn it off, like those hidden controls have been around since the beginning. So the fact that they've done essentially nothing to even try and modernize, I mean, what was the only thing they did to modernize? They changed the icons to look kind of like iOS 7. That's about it. But the fact that it's gone abandoned for so long does make you worry. Like you said, none of these issues are things that were, you know, held up by the content providers, but maybe there just wasn't enough of a stopgap device to warrant the engineering effort required. I can't actually create some sort of accurate hypothesis on that, because I don't know what the engineering team is like inside Apple that works on Apple TV. Is it really the cross-platform team that they yank off of iOS to work on OS 10 and all that stuff back and forth? But as interesting as content deals can be, that is really the only useful part of this this rumor that has come out lately. So I don't know. At this point, like, we're saying the exact same thing that everyone has ever said about why hasn't this device been updated. But is there anything aside from the price drop and the less than interesting HBO Now app that is worth discussing? I mean, there's the fun argument that they've been trying to deal with. Was it Comcast? Or
yeah, the rumor was that they were working with Comcast until they felt like Comcast was stringing them along in order to work on their X1 box and bring that to market before Apple. And then apparently that's when things went south. And so Apple decided to go their own route with it and try and work around them. Now, you know, I had theorized in a blog post that I put up that the timing of this was actually pretty close to when the net neutrality stuff went through. So, you know, nobody can really screw with Apple for streaming content right now. There's no way that they could have their stuff degraded or halted or blocked by any legal means.
But do you think it was more of Comcast was waiting to see how things shook out before they decided to agree or disagree on it?
Oh, I have no idea. And I want to say that I'm not speculating that this has to do with the FCC, because there was another part of the rumor that maybe this could have been they were working with Comcast because they were going to have fast lanes in order to have their own paid priority content over everybody else. So it's not like I'm saying Apple, like, did this out of the goodness of their hearts, or like was working with Comcast until they weren't, and then now this is all about vengeance or something. I mean, I kind of joked in the blog post and made like a Godfather reference with the severed horse head, but the it's all conjecture. Unless you're like, I don't know, Eddie Q, then you probably know. Gonna guess, maybe. Eddie Q is probably pretty up to speed on that, but the rest of us schlubs, we won't have access to that information, which I'm fine with. I just want them to move. That is my main criticism. I don't even care what it is. Just do something. It's annoying me. And the argument that it's tied to content only, which is why we don't get hardware or software updates, is, I think, stupid. There's plenty of room to do stuff, as we've seen with the Amazon Fire TV and Chromecast and other devices, that there's obviously a lot going on in your living room right now that competes with the Apple TV in terms of hardware and software, so move it or lose it. The other thing with the Apple TV is, of course, like we were talking about, the actual deals surrounding this over-the-top service, which is theorized to come out. And HBO Now is kind of the first signal of where this might be going, where Apple is basically Apple is poised to become your cable provider in the sense that they will provide you the programming that you would receive through cable. That is the direction they seem to want to go. They are not actually doing that, of course. In this rumor, they're going to have like 25 channels or something. And they're only going to have this HBO service for 3 months exclusive, and then everybody will have it. So it's not like this is going to be groundbreaking, because there's also like Sling TV and PlayStation View, and I'm sure there's going to be other projects, other products for over-the-top services where people are going to bundle together a bunch of streaming internet stuff and sell it to you, like your cable company sells you programming. And right now, none of those packages are as enticing as your cable for the amount of money that you're spending on it. But that value proposition could change over time.
Right. And the common wisdom is that this is being delayed, or everyone is terrified because this is what Apple does. They move into a space and then they ruin everyone's profit margins for the good of the user, which then turns out to maybe not so necessarily be for the good of the user. It's just to sell devices. But that's sort of been the overarching conventional wisdom as to why everyone is reticent to give Apple their content, right?
Well, that's, I think, the argument that everyone used to make. I think there is some reticence still, but I would venture that I'll speculate that Tim Cook's Apple is far more receptive to working with other people than Steve Jobs' Apple. And I would point to this HBO Now deal as a sign of that, in that I can't see this necessarily happening before, but it happens now. It is a way to sell a service through Apple where they get access to this. Another example might be, a better example might be Apple Pay, where Apple's not really, they're not inserting themselves into the situation where they take over from credit card companies. They're sort of acting as a conduit through which credit card transactions can flow through, and in a very particular way, so as to not threaten the wonderful banking system that we have.
Right, and the reason it is potentially successful is that the barrier to entry is so low, and it's so easy now to get to use this, or to use your credit cards or whatever it may be, that it makes it beneficial for the people on the other side of the coin to just jump in and let Apple handle all of the middle work. And presumably that's the same thing for the Apple TV. They'll make it so easy for people to subscribe to whatever channels, HBO Now, whatever they plan on bringing out in the future, that is where the benefit will come to the content providers. Not so much in that this is something new and revolutionary, but they're making it easier. They're making it easier to add, to remove, whatever it is that the value proposition may be with their hardware.
Yeah, but also there is another wrinkle to this, which makes it different than I think some people are thinking about this. It's not like with film studios, although several of the TV studios are part of media conglomerates that also own film studios. But the film studios, like the big six, and then smaller ones and ones throughout the world, they are very threatened by Apple because they are the ones that directly handle what their content is worth, and they feel threatened selling their stuff through Apple, which is
30% cut in all, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know if that actually is I can't remember if that's the case for film, but they do take a cut, and they also don't control all the experience, and that they can't get like weird kinds of tracking, and they can't package the stuff the way they might like, so they can't. I was in a grocery store and there was one of these six on one DVD sets, you know, where they just cram a bunch of movies into a new plastic box and they can sell it for like an eighth of what it costs in royalties to the producers of the movies. Mm-hmm. And one of them was like Clueless, and then it was just a bunch of other random 90s stuff. So you basically like one for eight. But the whole thing is they and they can release their director's cuts, they can release their special director's cuts, they can release their super mega ultra special director's
well,
cuts.
They still do that nonsense on iTunes, so.
Yeah, I know, but they don't, it's not a packaged different thing. Like, it's not like how it is when you walk into your local store and you go through the DVD section there. And they also don't have, like, weird sales going up and down. Like, it is whatever it's going to be, and they have, they don't want Apple, they can see themselves being taken advantage of, like the music industry was taken advantage of, because they have such a direct relationship to what's happening, and they monitor things so closely. The broadcast networks and cable television networks, the conglomerates that do that stuff, they are networks that sell ads to show things on their channels, and then they also sell the retransmission fees, basically, to cable companies so that per user they are paid for their content. So for Comcast, 22.3 million subscribers, a cable network might receive like $2 for every customer that's there for their package of cable channels that they provide. That's the scheme, basically, which is why they also have like those blow-ups every now and then where, you know, the Weather Channel's not going to be carried by Verizon Fios or...
right.
Yes. Or
G4 bailed out of DirecTV because they couldn't come to an agreement.
Yeah, and the Scripps Network and, you know, occasionally CBS will drop from, like, Time Warner Cable, or they'll have disputes over these retransmission fees because it's a set amount of money that they get per subscriber. And so they don't have the same relationship with customers because they're not collecting money from you in any way. And they aren't – it's not like a store either because they're not collecting money through that means, although it is more similar to a store. But that's why I'm saying that Apple is hoping to replace the cable provider that bundles and packages all of this content, and that the cable providers that traditionally have that role are having a really crappy time with shrinking subscriber numbers. But that has nothing to do, I think, with the motivation for why the networks are more interested in moving over. Because they're demanding more money for retransmission fees, generally, every year, every time they go to renegotiate contracts, because the subscriber numbers are dropping. Then this is true. You can go look on all the panic articles on like Variety or the Hollywood Reporter or whatever, and they're like, "Oh, what about cord cutters?" And it is a thing that is happening. It's not an explosive trend that has like consumed half of television or something like that, but it's money, and it's money that they don't have because of that. And then there's the so that's reduced retransmission fees. But then the bigger thing is advertising. They are losing out big time on advertising, where advertising, the people selling the ads want metrics and targeted ads, and they want to do this kind of stuff that they can do with online media and with online ads and all the terrible, horrible, stupid, dumb crap that you see thrown at you online. They love it. You know, maybe we'll wait another generation, those marketing people will retire, and then we'll finally get some people who aren't idiots doing marketing again. but these morons that are doing it right now believe very strongly in measuring impressions and engagement and the number of seconds you looked at something, and they want all that information. Any piece of information they can get. So online is incredibly enticing to them. With television, there is no engagement metrics or anything. There's nothing.
They can those Nielsen surveys. You ever take one of those where they ask you to keep a logbook of all the TV shows you watched, like write it down on a piece of paper and then mail it to them?
I have not participated, but I was just about to get to that. I was like,
I did one of those when I was like 15. They sent me a single dollar bill.
Oh, a whole dollar.
Yeah, although I did get to keep the dollar bill from my mom and dad too, so I made $3.
Okay.
But That aside, I mean, if we separate Apple from this argument, just talk about this completely ridiculous, overblown, antiquated method of transmission from anyone to anyone. Just the idea that they're reselling through cable providers and they're adding their own ads to make more money on top of that, that has to go away at some point, right? It's a bad idea. It's bad business for the consumer. And regardless of how we got here, the future is going to change that, right? I mean, with technology, we have the ability to be more of a peer-to-peer kind of relationship with these companies and the content providers. So by nature of the fact that it is easier for them to reach out to us directly, those middlemen are going to suffer and go away eventually, right? I mean, they're going to fight it tooth and nail because they are a gigantic industry that makes a ton of money. But don't you think that whether Apple was the person to do it or not, there is going to be a lot of heartache in this space, and it's going to change and it's going to go away eventually at some point, right?
Oh, well, without a doubt. I mean, that's why you're also seeing, you know, Sling TV and PlayStation View and any other thing that happens to crop up in the next 5 minutes, because
right, it's death by a thousand cuts to all of these middlemen who have just been basking in the buckets of money that people have been pouring on them for decades.
No, but it's not going to completely go away though, and I don't want to. It's not going to completely go away overnight. It is still a business where advertisers are spending basically 18 million on. I'm sorry, not 18 million. I misspoke. 18 billion with a B on advertising for primetime television every year. $18 billion. So you can't just divide that up by the number of people who own an Apple TV and charge them that. It will not cover everything. It won't even cover and even then, you'd only be covering the primetime television. There's so much that gets taken care of by advertising dollars that most people don't consider it, which is a common argument that people have with Hulu and Hulu Plus. People figure that once they pay for Hulu Plus, that they shouldn't see any ads, that all the ads should go away, that they want another tier even above what they're paying. They'll pay that, whatever it is, whatever the cost, just make the ads go away. But that's not going to happen because they can't hope to compete with the advertisers dollar for dollar and then have access to as much content as they want to have.
Right.
So if you want to, you can go buy a season pass to a television show on iTunes. Right now, right this very second, you can go buy Scandal or Empire or whatever you want to watch, House of Cards excluded from that. You can go buy your television series season, and you can have that download, and it'll be $40. So how many television series are you going to watch at $40? I'm going to guess not a lot.
Well, if you want to calculate based on just what I pay monthly for cable, that would be about three, and then I'm done.
Mm-hmm. But that's the whole thing, is like, you don't just watch three shows the year through, you know? I mean,
right?
It's ridiculous. So the whole notion of this is kind of messed up, in that consumers are used to thinking about the amount of money that they pay for cable as being like whatever it is, whatever it happens to be for you in particular, you know, somewhere north of $60, I'm guessing. Whatever you're paying just for your cable programming, if a competing Apple service came out, they would expect it to be ad-free and cheaper and have as much stuff. And that is not going to be the case right now. From these rumors, right now we're looking at basically 25 channels, which puts it in the same bracket as basic cable packages, which also have about 25 channels. You're looking at a whole thing with advertising, where in the rumor, they don't talk about advertising. But all of these other competing over-the-top services all have advertising. And with the main concerns that the content providers have in regards to advertisers wanting all of this tracking information and being unwilling to pay them unless they can provide it, I'm going to assume that whatever Apple's doing is going to have advertising of some sort, at least, and especially some way to track the advertising, maybe even some way to display targeted ads. And, you know, it's one of those things where for the amount of money that's being charged, they're talking about like $40, $40 to $50 for these 25 channels. Like, there's no way that you can get $40 to $50 worth of television programming for 25 channels a month, on a yearly basis. I'm sorry, on a monthly basis, without a contract. So it's going to come down to ads, and it's going to all be about the ads.
Yeah, and this is where I think most of the rumor folks are getting original iPhone syndrome, where they're trying to think of what is the holy grail unicorn of things that could possibly come out. It's going to be $5 a month. It's going to be 500 channels. There's going to be no ads, and you know, there's going to be no tracking. Apple's going to be the middleman, just like Apple Pay, and cut all that out. Like, that's just unrealistic. And you know, when there were all the rumors of the Apple Watch, everyone was like, oh, it's not going to be a watch. It's going to be some other type of fantastical unicorn wearable that's going to be amazing in ways you can't even imagine. It's like, well, turns out it's just a watch and they did it better. And that's where I think we get back to the same thing with the Apple TV, just being a lower barrier to entry, both maybe in cost, just it's going to be easier. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of cost savings under the things like, you know, you don't have to rent your DVR, or they don't upcharge you $10 a month because you're watching in HD instead of standard def, which I think is still a thing that happens to watch HD.
Yeah,
broadcast.
It depends on your regional cable provider.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I think it's just going to be an easier and better way to do the current stuff, which is fine. It's a great step forward in terms of progress for the medium. And you know, when it comes to advertising, like, I look at Hulu Plus and I cannot believe their business model actually works, because all it does is take the content and put it on a TV instead of the internet. Like, that's it. There's still ads, and they're still miserable ads, and they still make the shows lag in terms of the broadband, and then there's just varying signal quality between the different streams and all that terrible nonsense that happens. But it works. Like, they're still in business. So, and then here's the thing that's, I mean, it's not for everyone, but I will stipulate, I enjoy watching ads to a certain extent. Like, I don't enjoy watching 8 ads per commercial break, but I enjoy watching ads. And that probably has something to do with the fact that I enjoy kind of making them too. And that's kind of like what I do for a living, but I enjoy commercials.
You sick, demented bastard.
I know, but like the same thing with the Super Bowl. Like, you know, more than half the fun is watching the commercials and making fun of them on the internet, or whatever it is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
But commercials are as much of an entertainment medium as half of these TV shows these days. People still talk about commercials. So
yeah.
I'm not opposed to having commercials if that is the way they want to go. I understand that that is still a thing that is around. And you know, I wouldn't mind the death of local advertising, although I don't know where that would leave local advertisers in terms of how they actually get word out about their business. But the tracking, and then the how many ads, and, you know, the metrics thing is going to be the rub in terms of the users, because if it does have a, you know, if it doesn't have a don't share my information with advertisers button like your iPhone does, people are going to be a little turned off by that, and rightfully so.
Yeah, turned off. Ba-bump. But the, well, it might also be anonymized data. I mean, who knows what they'll be providing, and who knows what kinds of ads they'll be selling. And it could even be a situation where on a per network basis, they have different arrangements, because as we can see from the current Apple TV, as it exists right now, with the channels, quote unquote, that they offer, which are basically like glorified web pages. If you,
yeah,
you know, you go, you click the thing, and then there's like the little sliding gallery on the top of featured whatever garbage. And then there's like little things you can click on for other garbage. And it even has ad injection. So if you go watch something on some of these channels, quote unquote, that are free, quote unquote, then you'll get a couple ads here and there. The YouTube app also has ads. The YouTube
Crackle.
What?
Oh. Crackle.
Crackle. Sony's joke of an app, Crackle, also has it. The whole mechanism exists, and Apple's not wholeheartedly against ads. Otherwise, it wouldn't have anything to show on their television. I'm sure in the grand scheme of things, it would be great if they didn't have it. But it is, I'm going to say, probably impossible, especially if other people are willing to do it too, and we can see that other people are, from the other people launching over-the-top services. So yeah, I mean, that's it. It's not magic, and it's not what, ironically, it's not what most people think of when they think of television on the internet. When they think of television on the internet, they assume that it'll be a system where they can go like Netflix and browse to whatever they want, watch whatever they want. It'll play. There won't be any ads. They have a standard monthly fee. People are used to things like Spotify. They're used to things like Beats Music. They're used to these services where they pay a monthly fee and they get access to basically everything they want. And nothing exists like that for video content, for television, or for film. In Netflix, the closest one has all kinds of weird shenanigans with what they have online in their online library, which is basically almost nothing. And then, nothing you want to watch, really. And then they have the whole thing with their own original programming, which they started because they couldn't get any good stuff. House of Cards exists, and it's why all of these other programs they have exist. It's just to get around the fact that nobody would sell them stuff. So Apple is not interested in doing that, and so Apple isn't really going to be moving in this new direction. They're just going to keep the current system going.
Yeah, and on the other platform. Thing is, you know, sometimes the Netflix model. If Netflix was all I had, I think I would have a little bit more just general anxiety when I sit down to try and watch something. Like, maybe again, this is me personally, and it's not for everyone, but I do still kind of enjoy the model of turn on the TV and let's see what's actually on. And whether or not I stick with what's immediately on, it's a good way to just sort of like browse the channels and see what catches my interest. And then maybe, oh, this show's cool. And maybe it would be interesting to be able to start that episode over that I found because it's just it's something that intrigues me, and I just want to hit a button and start from the beginning, which is something that DirecTV is actually able to do for certain channels, and I think other cable providers do that, offer some sort of service like that as well.
Modern cable boxes can do it through modern cable providers.
Right, some of the on-demand stuff. But
some of them charge you for the service.
Right, but to go completely pick your playlist Spotify Netflix style with television, I don't think I would like that as much. So if there was some method of a blended solution from them, I would be open to that. And again, maybe that's not for everyone. Maybe these millennials, which I can't say millennials because we are millennials, but like maybe the younger kids aren't into that. And they don't flip channels just to find out what's on. But, you know, yeah, that's what I do.
I mean, when I say millennials, I mean like Kyle and Brian. Hi, listeners, Kyle and Brian.
By the way, quick update, they were watching the Meerkat stream for a little while, but it got really awkward because everyone was asking where they could hear the other half of the conversation, so I turned it off. We got about 7 people.
Oh, okay, because my phone was on Do Not Disturb, so I didn't see them bothering me.
It's fine.
Does Joe Steele know that you're doing this? How's Seth Gray?
I was nodding, and I wrote things on index cards and held it up to the camera, so...
Yeah, well, I can imagine how that wouldn't be that interesting, especially when I was ranting for a bit.
We'll figure out how to get your audio piped in for the next episode.
Yeah. Well, we could just do what the Incomparable does for Total Party Kill, where they have a Google group thingy and they stream that, or could do a Nicecast thing and do streaming audio. But meh. the other thing I was going to say, basically about the younger generation. Where you're dealing with people who have spent most of their later kid life and teenage life using mobile entertainment or computers almost exclusively in a way that we didn't use them when we were growing up in the 90s, especially since we didn't have like a smartphone that would go in our pocket and it could do all this crazy shenanigans stuff. We're not hip to what the children are doing these days, and that the YouTube has blown up, and it is where a lot of people get entertainment from, and it is mostly, I would say, how do I put this delicately, crap, in that the production values are incredibly low, incredibly below the floor low, usually in most cases.
And personally, I find the YouTube interface to be completely terrible and awful as well.
It is antithetical to me enjoying anything. Here, look, watch this next thing. Blah, I'm going to start auto-playing 5 seconds to comply.
If nothing else, it's just the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, what I really want is a giant white screen with blocks of ugly thumbnails and a giant block of text, and then some comments, because let's see what people on the internet have to say.
Although I will say Vimeo is you know, vying hard for that title of worst video interface, because they were great forever, but now that they've got that those related video thumbnails that go directly across the top of the screen, I load a video and I go to hit play, and then the whole screen drops down like 100 pixels, and I click on something that's not the video, and it's like, guys, come on, now I gotta go hit this hide other videos button before I can play, and it's like, just move that somewhere where it doesn't push the main content down the second I load the page and try and hit play. It's rage making.
Okay, well, it doesn't do that, I think, on mobile, but whatever. But the whole thing is that the most valuable segment of the market is the young segment, specifically young men, young women too, but advertisers generally want to target men between 18 and 24, 35, blah, 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 numbers. So they want to target these people. And if the trend right now is that increasing year over year, more people don't have TV, don't have cable, don't even bother with broadcast, don't, you know, go to Hulu to stream your show with the ads that you've selected, and the ads that get selected for broadcast are far more lucrative than the ads that get placed on Hulu. So you're dealing with all this stuff, and it's just like just shrinking over time.
Right, and these are the people I think that they could potentially get back if they make a device that makes it easier to get the service. Like just the fact that these kids in a college dorm or whatever can get the service. Like what do you got to have a permanent address and like credit card and like just credit rating before you can
did you just say credit card, like credit card with an ard in it?
I hopefully it did not, but
I think you did.
The ability to remove that and say, look, these people have an Apple ID and a card on file already. Just like, let's bill them through this way that is easy and give them the content in an easy way. That's how you can get some of these people back. But, you know, the other thing about, you know, this old method of the cable providers is, you know, what is a channel? A channel is essentially a large company that is curating content for people. But if there is a way to, and you know, Netflix tries to do this sort of thing with like recently added or movies in this genre or because you like this, but that's just, it's really sort of half-assed in terms of its groupings and suggestions of what you might like. If they find a way to basically take all of the content that they could potentially serve up through their box and give us a universal search for when we know exactly what we're looking for, and then give us some sort of actual useful curation, whether that is through, you know, user generated, like, you know, the iTunes top charts for music, or whether it's actual people that they're bringing in to say like, no, these shows belong together and people will enjoy this sort of stuff together. That's really where they have the potential to add value. But that's where, you know, it becomes less of an engineering challenge and more of an actual business to run and people actually making creative decisions.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to go all the way back to the thing you were saying about college. It is very true that a lot of people are not started when they start out in life in a situation where they traditionally would have purchased cable, where for the past 40 years, basically, they would have been in a position to buy cable. They are not doing that. If I were a cable company, the first thing I would do is give everybody $1 cable in their dorm rooms, because there is nothing better than getting everyone hooked on a drug. And at a low, low rate that just climbs over time. And then, you know, you could even do a thing where it's just like, it's $1 your first year. And then by the time you leave, it's 10 bucks. And then when you go out into the real world and it's a little more than that, well, that doesn't seem so bad. It's just a little more than what I was paying.
Yeah, maybe hey, I got a job now too, so why not?
And like with insurance companies, how they have like a show us your report card or whatever from or your graduation certificate or what have you from your last semester, and we'll give you a discount. Like cable companies could do the same thing. Just be like, you know, here we are supporting education. We're gonna give you a sweet little deal there. We'll give you a $30 TV
either
package.
Free or cheap cable when I went to college at U of A, which is to say, I didn't do anything other than sleep, watch cable, and go play lacrosse.
Ah, well. That was good planning. But the
worked out well.
Yeah, super. But the I think at my school it was something like $48 something, I think, maybe 40. Which was like basically a $10 discount off what the package would have been otherwise, and you couldn't like selectively pick through anything. It was only like this one particular package that they offered the school. It was very strange.
Oh yeah, and when I say free, I mean it was included in the $700 a month or something I was paying for this garbage little room. So I'm sure it was just rolled into that.
Yeah. But see, this is the whole thing. It's like, but the cable companies could go do that, but they're not really that interested in it because they can just keep charging their existing customers more money, which is what they do. As if you've noticed, your cable bill year over year slightly increasing in value. And that
this,
fees keep
this
getting
is why
tacked
I don't,
on for things.
This is why I try not to actually look at my cable bill. This is why on my bill, I get a discount because I have direct deposit or direct bill or whatever it is. Like, I don't pay them monthly. They just take it right out of my account because it's cheaper that way. You know, look, it's a benefit. And it's basically they're doing that because if I actually looked at that number every month, I would be horrified because it is horrible. And of course, you know, they give you for the first 3 or 6 months, they give you the movie channels for free. And I said yes to that. And of course, to cancel those particular channels, I have to literally call a human being who is going to try and talk me off the ledge, which is why I don't do it. So I keep paying an exorbitant amount of money that I don't actually look at because it is a giant pain to actually cancel it. And
Dan?
Yes.
That was like the stupidest argument ever.
Oh, I know. I'm talking about how terrible the whole thing is. This is the thing they trick you into doing. Uh-huh. And if it was actually worth my time, I would tell them to piss off and never use their service again because they are terrible and they are charging me way too much money. And I just can't deal with it. Like, it's just trying to find a better way, or I don't want to have workflows for my TV. You joked about my remote workflow, but I don't want to have like, oh, switch over to input 4 and then turn on this box to get these channels and then that over there to get those channels. The fact that it is, this is the terrible way that is actually the easiest way to get stuff into my house and watch on television. Now, if Apple has a way to get stuff on my television easier, and they are less shady about the way they charge me, and I have the ability to turn things on and off as I want them, that's going to be huge for them. Because the fact that this method of cable subscription, as painful and miserable as it is the easiest way to get all the stuff that I want, that speaks volumes about how ready for this for disruption this industry is.
Yeah, well, okay, there's this whole thing, though, where the reason why it is the way it is because these companies don't compete with one another at all, which is something very difficult for people outside of the U.S. to understand when people are complaining about cable all the time, is that you have whatever cable service serves your region, and that is it. And if you are lucky enough to live in a region where there is a competing provider, like Fios or AT&T UVerse, or if you are in an area where satellite television is an option for you, if you live in a place that'll let you put up a dish, if you, all those things. Most of the time, the easiest way to do it is cable. Almost every house or apartment you're going to come across is wired up with cable. You just show up, you arrange service, they start you off, you have your box and you have your cable modem from them, and then they just keep billing you forever. And that is their preferred method of interaction.
Right. And this is because they paid the money up front to put the actual cables in the actual ground and run it to every single house. And now they're just, they're billing everyone to try and make that money back. And I'm sure they more than have, but this is also their disinclination to upgrade to, you know, faster cable to put fiber in the ground for other people, because why would they want to go through that investment when they can just keep charging people for the same barely usable service?
Yes. And also, on top of that, we have something unique in that these providers also charge us fees for equipment, which is interesting because a lot of people don't assume that they could ever own any of the equipment that they get from the cable company, so they're content to pay whatever the rate is that they get charged, especially when it comes to things like cable modems. Time Warner Cable used to have free cable modems that were included. And then they started charging a fee. And it was going to be $8 a month for me here in LA for the cable modem that they had given me. And it was a 3-year-old cable modem. And I'm not an expert, sometimes things are better in 3 years, unlike the Apple TV. And so I'd known that there were some improvements in cable modem technology, which had surpassed this dinky little box that they'd given me. And I was not willing to pay them for this privilege of using their thing. And they're like, well, you know that we'll replace it for free if you ever have a problem. And it's like, well, my current problem is that you were charging me for this, and that even if I were to have an actual failure, it's cheaper for me to buy a new cable modem every year than it is to pay you the fee for this. So I bought my own cable modem. Haven't had a problem. It's been great. I canceled the cable service in my apartment. I'm hardly in my apartment. I'm usually over at Jason's, and so we use his DirecTV subscription for everything. Canceling was also super easy. You just walk right into the Time Warner store, you give them the box, and I was all set to argue with them. I was super set to argue with them. So set. And I was ready for them to say something like I'd forgotten a cable, or I needed to hand in a remote that I had misplaced over the years or something. But no, I had everything. I handed it off to them. They asked if I was sure, and I said yes, and then that was it. It was closed. She didn't even offer to give me another plan or month or, you know, discount or anything. No offers at all. And so I was just like, that is the easiest termination I've ever had. Thank you so much. And so currently in my apartment, I don't have it. And last night, when we were going to record last night, but spoiler alert, we didn't. I was going to watch some stuff on online. I was going to use the internets to disseminate, to absorb information from beyond. From the CW in particular. I was going to watch The Flash because everyone has been clamoring about how great The Flash is. And I figured, you know, people are saying how great Arrow is, but I'm not willing to go down that road. I'll try The Flash. I'll give it a shot. Unfortunately, on their website, only the last 5 episodes were available. So I couldn't start from the beginning. And I was like, oh, well, that sucks. Oh, they have an online app. Maybe their app has it. Nope, same availability. And I was like, well, Hulu Plus has a 1-week free thing, and then they'll start charging you. So I was like, oh, I guess I could go look and see if they have it. Nope, they also don't have it. And so it was just like, well, what is the point of that as a cable replacement for cord cutters? I can't watch any of the stuff. And so, you know, this is where the Apple OTT service would come into play, where their over-the-top service would come into play, is that it would fill in this gap, and that I perhaps would have this on demand, and maybe I could watch this. Who knows? Maybe it would be exactly the same arrangement as currently exists with their website and online and all this other stuff. Maybe it will be as just as crappy as that, where the last 5 episodes are available. But I'm hoping not. We'll see. The one curious thing, though, that I want to... The whole reason why I brought this up really is also because there's the trial week with Hulu Plus where you can test it out, and you have to cancel before the end of the week or they bill you for the $7.99 monthly fee. And then
one of those ones where you got to put in a credit card before you can even get the free trial.
No, because it's billed. I signed up through my Apple TV, so it was billed through my iTunes account.
Oh, that's even worse.
Why?
Because you shouldn't give them any sort of access to your monies until you actually see the service. I don't like that kind of thing.
Oh, well, it didn't matter in this case because it's free, but I also wanted to try this out to see how the cancellation process would go, because I knew we were maybe going to talk about this. And so, sure enough, I went to go cancel, and in the email it says you need to go into your iTunes settings and then turn off the auto-renew. And then you'll have it for the rest of the week, and then it won't pick up the service again. And I was like, you're kidding me. That's it? Like, there's no, like, you must do it by 12 midnight, and then it will switch over if you haven't. No, it doesn't do that. It really actually quite easy and logical. You register that you have no interest in this renewing, and it doesn't. The end.
Hmm.
Yeah, and and so if the future service is anything like that with Apple, with these packages, where these channels are grouped together into this big bundle, and you're like, you know, I'm not getting value out of this, then maybe you just turn it off, and then it won't renew at the end of the month. And yeah, it won't be a big crazy thing.
I like that methodology as well. And that's what I mean, the ability to turn on and off services as you see necessary. That will, of course, you know, screw them out of being able to charge you for a year's worth of stuff. You know, for seasonal shows, people will sign up for a month, binge watch it, and then, you know, turn that off. But, you know, the courteous thing to do on their side would be to have auto renew turned off by default for the people who forget. But I guess I can live with the fact that it's easy enough to turn auto renew off. But, I'm sure they're banking on at least a portion of the population forgetting to do that, which is annoying to me.
Yeah, well, you know, life sucks. Another reason why I bring that up is because that's basically also the HBO Now situation from what they unveiled, where it's, in essence, HBO Go, except without having to have a cable subscription. And so it costs, you know, $15, and it's on a 1 month billing cycle, where you aren't.
Do we know that for sure?
Yeah, they announced that. So you are billed for that month. You get your HBO Now service, and then it will auto renew until you cancel it, just like with that Hulu thing that I was describing to you. So you can have HBO without a contract for as long as you want, as little as you want, as long as you don't want it for one day, then sorry, you have to have it for the month. So it's not actually that bad. And because it has access to all of the other on-demand content, then you can go back and watch through a bunch of other old stuff, and it makes it even more valuable to keep it around. That's anyway their pitch on it when they went into doing HBO Go. I don't have to derail us, but their biggest spike in subscriptions is whenever there is a show that is on the air, that is currently airing live every Sunday or whatever, like in the case of Game of Thrones, where that's their big draw. And then once that is over, everyone cancels their HBO subscriptions.
Right.
So they were looking for a way. When they first came out with HBO Go, they were looking for a way to have on-demand content year-round that would make the service more interesting, that people would choose to go back through the back catalog and just keep it around because they felt like there was enough stuff there that it wasn't just about what was currently airing. And supposedly that has helped them, which is also why they're expanding it.
You know that's going to be their sticking point with Apple. They're looking for some sort of disincentive for people to cancel, whether it's, okay, it's only $15 a month, but you got to buy 6 months at a time, or, you know, any sort of contract terms. That's where they're going to, and again, this is the old model dying and the new model just coming to life, is that people are going to just turn it on for a month and watch everything that they could possibly want to watch and turn it off until they get the inclination or there's a new show that is interesting to them. Like, you know, if Mad Men was on an on-demand service, I wouldn't be paying for AMC or whatever, wherever you're going to watch it for those 8 months in between the six episodes that they show, you know, half a year or whatever. So they're going to lose money on that, but that's going to be beneficial to the customer.
No. Okay. I'm going to walk through a couple different things here. With HBO, they are in such a good situation with this model that they've set up that they not only love HBO Go as a product, but this is also why they're selling HBO Now this way, where it's the same way. Like I said, just no cable subscription required in order to have it. The thing that changes with this over-the-top service, though, which is separate from HBO and separate from the channels you currently have and the ones that are being added, is that this one little package of 25 channels will be its own discrete fee. It will not be a la carte for every component of that package. So odds are that throughout the year, there's going to be something on some of these channels that you're going to want to watch, just like with your cable subscription, that there is going to be a need to have some kind of content throughout the year. And so you'll have something to watch on any of these channels. Now, 25 is a small number of channels. It's not enough. And I see that package growing over time, and perhaps other tiers of service being added where there are different gradations. Again, just like if you were replacing your cable provider, Cox or Time Warner or Charter or Bright House or Comcast, if you're replacing them with Apple, just strike their name out, and then that's them. And then imagine that there's no hassle cancellation, there's no equipment fees, there's no installation fee, there's no service guy coming out to do jack crap with anything.
Drill a couple holes in your wall and like kind of plug it up maybe?
Yes, yes. And then run cable that doesn't match the color of your walls and then use those little plastic bracket things. Anyway, that isn't happening. Like that's all going away. Like, and the yearly subscription, like sign up now and you get all of this for only $48.99 asterisk for the first 24 months. You know, there is, that stuff is going to keep happening with cable, but that is not Apple's way of operating. Apple does not have like subscription fees that spike later on. Like they don't do that. So they also don't believe in like 1 year subscriptions. Like they deal with people that do believe in that, but like, you know, notably your cell phone provider believes in that. But they don't they themselves are not actually doing that. They don't offer like a 2 year subscription fee for anything where you're locked in and you're paying a monthly fee that you can't get rid of.
Well, the only thing that's like that's weird is they calculate iCloud backup by the year, but you still pay monthly, and I think you can cancel and prorate out basically whatever you didn't use for the month. But that's an odd place where they actually do calculate it on a yearly basis now.
Well, they calculate your rate yearly, but they don't bill you yearly. They bill you monthly.
Right. Right.
Yeah, which is what I'm getting at here. They might say some rate per year, but they don't require a contract, so it's not really per year. It's just like, that's just one way of representing the information that they would charge you for that year. Same will go for the TV stuff. And so there are pros to what they're doing here, even though it does look like they're just shuffling deck chairs for the networks, where the networks are just trying to rearrange things so that they don't all fall flat on their faces in 2 minutes when they realize that all of the little babies have grown up and that they don't have any TV that they want to watch and that they're all watching YouTube and Google controls all of the ads on the entire planet Earth. That is the horrible future wasteland that we can look forward to, I suppose, where everyone can be their own little vlogger and they can all YouTuber their vlogs to one another and have sponsors and ad reads and bill each other. It'll just be like a big Ponzi scheme. It'll be great.
As long as it integrates the fun new cash tags, we'll be good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of the funnier things about the cash tags is that I saw cropping up a few places on Twitter and elsewhere where people are, you know, basically like, hey, if you want to pay me money because you like my content, then give me money. And, you know, that's not to make fun of them, but, you know, it is a very different business model. ABC is not going to show up at your door and be like, "Hey, we got a cash tag for ABC." They're not gonna switch to doing a Patreon.
They're not gonna be like, to see what happens after the commercial break, send a dollar to cash tag NBC.
Yeah, they're not gonna be like, "Here's the password for our secret video podcast channel." No, it is a totally different beast, and it's one where people are comparing their online experience with the kind of entertainment that they're getting online. They're comparing that to the kind of entertainment that they expect these broadcasters to provide when they move online. And I'm just saying, it's not going to be the same. it's going to be basically the same as what you have now if you turned on your television. Only it'll be on the internet, and only it'll be through Apple.
And as long as it makes it easier to do the things about the service that we don't like to do, whether that be renewing or paying or whatever, and it's done by people that we perceive to be less scummy about their tactics, and we potentially admire, it's, you know, all of us Apple nerds, that's going to be a step in the right direction. I think that's going to win a lot of people over.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to matter specifically for you because you're going to be too terrified to cancel your cable bill.
Well, if I'm canceling the whole thing rather than sitting on the phone arguing with somebody about why I want to keep HBO but not Showtime, but, oh, we'll give you an extra month of this for free if you just stick around. It's like, no, I don't want to do that. And I've heard people who are willing to spend 3 hours on the phone and argue to get 6 months or 8 months of free movie channels. Like, my time is worth more than that, and I'm not going to do that. So.
Okay. Well, I don't want to burst your bubble, but before when I had cable, I was removing a couple of the tiers that I wasn't watching because they cost money and I wasn't watching them. So I called them up expecting to fight, and there was no fight. They did try to tell me that I should buy their triple play and get the phone service.
The home phone.
I honest to God, if I have another person try to sell me a stupid home phone, God.
I caught a couple minutes of Legally Blonde the other day, and she has one of those old wireless VTech phones that I had back when I was like 12 years old. It's like, oh yeah, that's probably the last home phone that I actually owned. It was one of those clear green plastics. I think I bought it at Target.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the VTechs were the cool ones for a while in the late 90s.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the last home phone that I bought.
Yeah, I remember cordless phones, as they were referred to.
Cordless. Mm-hmm. It's you don't trip over them.
Yeah,
maybe. I
mean, do you remember phones on a cord?
Oh yeah.
Man, those are the days, right? Like we had the kitchen one where, it was one of those, like, you know, the generic handset ones where it's on the wall, and it was beige, and then it had the coiled, mm-hmm. super long, like 100-foot, cable.
Yeah, so you gotta get that separately so you can keep walking.
Yeah. You get the hand, that way you can take the headset, handset, into like the next two rooms or whatever. And so of course all of the cords would get tangled up. The coils would just sort of like invert into themselves and make like these little fractal patterns of knots. And it was just amazing. And there was no way to fix it. You couldn't unravel it. You couldn't straighten it. You couldn't like reduce the tension to unwind it in any way. It was just ruined, and so you just keep buying new cords for that. So cordless phones were quite an innovation, especially when they came out with the what was it, the 2.5 gigahertz ones, where it was crystal clear audio.
Yeah, I think they made it all the way up to 5 before I stopped buying them. But yeah, you could walk all the way out into the backyard and still be on the phone.
Yeah, it was bananas. You could go upstairs with it and then downstairs with it. I mean, it was. Unheard of.
And you wouldn't have to, you know, pick up the phone downstairs and then leave it on sitting on the counter and then go upstairs and open the other phone and then shout down the stairs, you can hang up the other phone now.
Yeah.
And then
you try to like secretly pick it up very quietly when your sister was on the phone, just so you could like prank and play it. No, but that is another thing though, in a more serious tone, that Horace Dedieu of Simcoe, I think it's Dedieu. Anyway, Horace had several posts about analysis about things, and one of them was about how the explosion happened when people stopped having landlines, very very suddenly stopped having landlines, and then went all wireless, and basically destroyed all of the landline phone carrying services out there. And so he's anticipating a similar effect basically with cable television, where your regional cable provider that sells you your packaged entertainment is going to go away, and that it will be these over the top services that will take their place. And that I think is a foregone conclusion, it might not be Apple that replaces it for everybody, but it's going to be somebody is going to get replaced with that over time. And even more to the point, these broadcasters who are so used to the way things were in the 1950s and 1960s, they are in for a world of hurt as their stuff gets shuffled around. You know, it's not William S. Paley running things these days, fellas. You know, you gotta change with the times.
Yeah, I look forward to the day where I no longer receive calls during dinner from people asking me if I'm satisfied with my long distance cable provider. You remember getting those phone calls?
Vaguely. It was a long time ago. Mm. Remember Carrot Top doing the collect call?
Yeah, there was a 1-800-COLLECT, and there's 1-800-CALL-ATT. He was Call ATT, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
All right, here's what we're going to do. When we make a collect call, we're going to dial down the center with 1-800-CALLATT. That's free for you, cheap for them. Huddle up.
Save on every call. Dial 1-800-CALL-ATT for collect calls.
Let's hit those showers, ladies. Who's with me?
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we recirculate one of those commercials recently because it was so ridiculously awfully 90s or 80s or whenever the hell that was?
I don't know if I did. If you did, I wasn't privy to the
Maybe I just watched it and it hurt my brain and I closed the window. But I remember watching it like once or twice or maybe three times in a row just going like, how was this a thing that actually happened?
You were just in shock. You're just in a catatonic state.
Yeah. I want to go find like the one payphone that's still in my town and see if 1-800-CALL-ATT still works.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you let me know how that works out for you, buddy.
Probably works.
Okay.
I might have to go down to the prison to try it out. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, call Sumner Redstone and Les Moonves and talk to them about whether or not they're satisfied with their over-the-top service provider.
Yeah, ask them if their refrigerator's running.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. So is it safe to say we're optimistic about Apple's foray into the field?
Oh, I thought the show ended already.
No. No.
Okay, well, then I am cautiously more optimistic than I was before in that I think the key to this is going to be releasing new stuff and that maybe they might do that. So, good.
There will potentially be new things, and those new things will be vital in the growing of their new platform of things.
Mm-hmm. All the new things.
All of the great new things.
No, who knows? I mean, we just established it's just going to be
like, this is going to be like the old one, but easier.
Yeah.
All of the easier new things.
Yes.
Sure.
All of the slightly less uncomfortable things.
Sure. So slightly less terrible than before.
Mm-hmm.
You want to button it up?
Yeah. Coax.
But tie it up in a bundle with some coax.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you.